is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Off the Record with Chicago Line is brought to you by Alive, Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Columbia Emeralds, Commonwealth Bank, Island Luck, Kelly's Home Center, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Ron's Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, and Star General Insurance Made Simple.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers are essentially the same. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. By the way, you can also call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. The country continues to be in a heated discussion around a couple of things, maybe many things, but the most recent set of things having to do with the housing money, and then having to do with the smuggling of migrants' bills. We will talk about both today, but I have to start with the comments I heard from the Minister of Housing, the Honorable Keith Bell, regarding the queries that the leader of the opposition has been making, and the press, quite frankly, of the government regarding. So this is what I understand to have happened, and this is what I understand from both the minister and other sources. Okay? This is what I understand. That the prime minister and the minister responsible for housing at the time, Jobeth Colby Davis and those, went to Jamaica. I don't know if they went to Jamaica expressly for this or while they were in Jamaica this happened. But while in Jamaica, they agreed to borrow $20 million from a company in Jamaica. Not from the Bank of Jamaica, not from a development bank in Jamaica, from a company in Jamaica, the beneficial owners of whom is not known to us by way of disclosure by the government. Okay, my understanding is though that there are some owners of the company that loaned this $20 million who are known political actors in Jamaica. Okay? So the reason for borrowing that $20 million was to finance the construction of homes, according to the minister, in a subdivision that the Minnesota administration started. And did not advance a whole lot on, And so for whatever reason, that wasn't disclosed to us, whatever reason, the government agreed to borrow this sums of money from this private company in Jamaica. Okay? And so what the government then did was borrow this money through a special purpose vehicle. What's a special purpose vehicle? So when the government is trying to do a project, a specific project, it might. So NAD is a special purpose vehicle. You could call, I think, the PHA as a special purpose vehicle. So the government creates a special purpose vehicle. It's a corporate entity that then therefore has a, that it has a personality of its own under in the law, right? So it's separate and apart from the government in as much as it's a separate legal entity from the government, even though it's owned essentially by the government, right? And so the government populates it with as with directors who might be, as the minister said, PSs and these kinds of people. But the beneficial owner of the special purpose vehicle is the government. And the government then would have borrowed this money through this special purpose vehicle, and by which means of the Minister of Finance having so facilitated. And so this money was then used by this special purpose vehicle for the construction of the Carmichael Village subdivision, which was started by the minister's administration, according to the minister. And that they have built some 60 homes or so with the money. And there are 60 more homes under construction. So let me see now. So let's say that's 120. He said there's supposed to be 200. At one point he said 200. Another point he said 300 homes. But he said supposed to be built 200 homes. So far 160 have been built, and another 60 or so, he says, is under construction. So, and he said that didn't include the infrastructure and all that was supposed to go in. So let's divide 20 million right now by 160. So that's like $125,000 a home, if all the homes were built with the $20 million. But we don't know. We don't really know all of that. But we know that the minister said that the loan became due. Now, the terms of this loan has never been disclosed. We know the sum of money borrowed was $20 million. We don't know what the length of time was that this money was supposed to be borrowed and lent back. Now, and so let me finish what we know. And so the minister says that they then used public treasury monies, $10 million of public treasury money, to combine with $10 million from the sale of the homes to repay the loan. But that's $20 million. But he said that this was paid back with interest. So what's the interest? Right? So was the interest, what was the interest? Now, he indicated that some $10 million was paid by the government out of the treasury, and the other $10 million from a loan, from the sale of land. that then if all of that has happened, that only covers the principal. That doesn't cover the interest that he said was also paid. So you still don't know what the cost of the fund, the borrowings was from. But let's put all of that aside for the moment. So given what the minister said, I asked myself, having been in the Ministry of Finance before, okay, how do you borrow this money as the Minister of Finance or the Ministry of Housing, Minister of Housing, without going through Parliament? Right? Because as far as I know, the Constitution of the Bahamas provides that no money shall be borrowed by or on behalf of the government of the Bahamas, saving and except the same is approved by positive resolution in the House of Assembly. No money. Didn't say, well, no money, but no money. That same thing was in the former Financial Administration and Audit Act that was repealed by the Minnesota administration, and the same provision disallowing such borrowings is in the present new act that covers the financial administration audit stuff. Okay? So I said, well, it must be then that the Minister of Housing has power within the Housing Act to borrow money. So naturally, what I would do would be to go and find out from the act what the powers are that the minister has, because the Minister of Housing is a corporation soul, meaning that the Minister of Housing is an entity in and of itself, you know, with powers. Is one of those powers the ability to borrow money? Well, let's look. Let's look at what powers. And a minister can only hold a power that the act gives. You can't hold a power the act don't give you. Because this is an authorization by the Parliament of the Bahamas as to what you can or cannot do. So what did the Parliament say to the minister you can do? Well, this is what the Parliament says. The minister may, under the provisions of this act, A, construct dwelling houses upon land owned by the government or to be acquired for such purposes. B, acquire dwelling houses, land, or housing projects by way of purchase, lease, or otherwise. Sell, lease, exchange, or otherwise dispose of real or personal property acquired by him pursuant to this act. D, carry out housing development, including the provision of utilities and roads, building, maintenance, repair, and other operations. E, carry on any business or undertaking in and for the purposes of any housing development. F, grant loans. Notice now, grant loans. So you can make a loan. The minister can make a loan. Grant loans on such terms and conditions as he deems fit to persons of low and middle incomes for the purpose of the rehabilitation and improvement of dwelling houses. This is the first time we've heard loan, but it's for lending. So the minister can lend. The G, the minister can promote and encourage the construction of new dwelling houses of sound construction and affording suitable accommodation for families of low or middle incomes and senior citizens. The minister can promote or encourage the means of financing and constructing, promote or encourage the means of financing and construction of dwelling houses for the benefit of persons wishing to own and occupy such houses to such extent as may be necessary to meet the public need in various parts of the Bahamas. The minister can purchase a mortgage redemption policy of insurance to provide life insurance coverage to approved borrowers. And the minister can, J, promote and encourage the establishment of such projects and facilities as would appear to him to enhance the standard of living, general welfare, and well-being of persons, and for those purposes to exercise the powers herein conferred upon him. So that's it. Those are the powers conferred upon the minister. No, none of those powers says that the minister can borrow. The Minister of Finance can't even borrow no money, saving except such monies as has been approved by the Parliament of the Bahamas. Okay? So the Minister of Finance can't do so. So the question for me became one of, and the Minister of Housing did not speak to this. How did the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Housing borrow money from a private entity, save outside of an approval by the Parliament? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
You're invited to our most anticipated event of the year, Colombian Emeralds International in the Port Acaya Marketplace and CEI Rawson Square, Nassau, present Sparkle Soiree, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. December 12th and 13th. Get 50 plus 10% off diamonds, 50 plus 15% off gemstones and gold, and 60 plus 10% off Clarence treasures. This holiday season, come experience sparkling savings of appreciation at CEI Sparkle Soiree all day, December 12th and 13th. Bring home more than a memory this holiday from CEI with love.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we are in the first instance speaking about some comments made by the Minister of Housing about a query continuously put to them, the government, by the opposition about $20 million that was borrowed from a private entity in Jamaica and for a Carmichael Village housing development, and to which the minister said there was nothing inappropriate, untoward, unusual about what has happened. And while he focused on the government having thousands, he said in the first instance, and then he said hundreds of contracts or loans, that borrowed loans under PPPs that are not disclosed because the government would be overwhelmed to disclose all of these things, which is a separate issue. That's what he focused on. For me, the issue was because he disclosed this, that the government borrowed this money from this company in Jamaica. How is the question? And I'm just asking, maybe there's some reading, rendering, interpretation of the Housing Ministers Act that permits this. Maybe the Minister of Finance has some powers of which I am unaware that allows for the government to borrow money outside of the parliament in contradiction to what I understand the Constitution of the Bahamas and the financial administration and audit laws of the Bahamas to provide. But as far as I know, no such power exists either in the Minister of Finance or in the Minister of Housing. And so that's really a question that can be sensibly put, and I'm open for an answer on the same question. Okay? Now, the minister said that the government enters into all kinds of contracts, et cetera, that, you know, the government would be, you know, essentially in paralysis to have to disclose every piece of paper related to every contract, et cetera. And the truth of the matter is, I don't think anybody has ever been asking for every ministry contract, maybe say with a little supplier of bleach and a little to be disclosed. I don't think anybody's, people have been asking about material contracts that have come to light. And you don't have to table them in the House of Assembly. And I don't think that's what anybody's been asking for. But we live in an age of digitization now. I mean, think about that for a moment. Like right now, you can go online and get every law of the Bahamas has. You can get the bills that the Bahamas pass as updated as they have them. You can get access to all kinds of financial data through the Central Bank of the Bahamas, all kinds of social and economic data, demographic data through the Bahamas National Statistical Institute. The government has a website that it tries to keep the public informed on. You get every press release the ministers do, every press release somebody else does in government. And, well, if you wanted to, the government could publish every single one of them. If it wanted to. And it wouldn't be overwhelming to the government. It just requires the data department, even if it had to contract somebody or had to engage, say, university students or others to mount them, they could do that. That's not hard. Most of these documents, if not all, start out as digitized documents, true or not true. Right? So that wouldn't be difficult to do if the government was minded to do so, right? I mean, and he isn't wrong to the extent that, I mean, no government has sought to do this in any mass way, even though the new Procurement Act does require a publishing of the list of contracts issued by the government, inclusive of, I believe, to whom they were awarded and the amounts and so forth and so forth, unless something has changed about that. So I found that explanation a little odd, given that it is certainly possible for the government to do that, and it would not be debilitating the government. It would not be like the minister would be sitting at his computer churning out these things. All they had to do is to give instructions that, listen, every contract, and presumably the contract comes through the minister if it's less than $50,000, or through the tenders board if it's more than $50,000, and therefore everybody has record of these things. And so you can just tell them, send them out to the data people and tell them, listen, go and create a portal for a link to all the contracts issued by the government, and then you'd publish it that way. Right? But again, even as the minister was giving information, and I understand he says he has a communication to make, presumably the communication will have information about what authority was used to provide to take out the loan in the first place. And then what is this financial institution that actually lent the government money? And what were the terms? I mean, that'd be straightforward information to get. Then when the Chinese lend us money, we get that information. When the IDB lend us money, we get that information. And then let me ask you a question. I mean, this was my thought too, on the matter during the course of a discussion about it, right? With knowledgeable people. I was like, so $20 million the government wants. In my mind, first of all, I'm thinking, you get $20 million from the IDB, you know, $20 million. I said, that ain't no big money for the government of the Bahamas. Or you go to the Bank of Bahamas and get that, the government bank, you own the government, you own the bank. $20 million, that's a good piece of business for the Bank of Bahamas. You know, or you could borrow that money from the central bank. $20 million from the central bank, that can't be no problem. Unless your capacity to borrow from the central bank has been exhausted. Why go to a Jamaican company? And why a Jamaican company? Like, why not tender this out in the region if you want to borrow $20 million and then you could find out maybe you could get some better terms from others? Why negotiate this like that? So raise questions for me about the circumstances surrounding it. And I'm not saying there aren't answers. What I know is we don't have those answers today. Right? And the minister's words didn't provide any illumination on those particular points that I'm raising right now. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Transform your home for less at Kelly's House and Homes Holiday Paint Sale now through Wednesday, December 24th. Enjoy 25% off house and spray paints, plus 20% off paint supplies, except on net items. Our wide selection of paint colors is the perfect way to bring holiday cheer to your home. You'll also find the best selection of brushes, rollers, pans, glue, ladders, paint thinner, and more. So catch the holiday spirit and paint up for Christmas at Kelly's House and Homes Holiday Paint Sale, going on now through December 24th.
Flame Grill tastes better. Head to Burger King Nassau. You'll see our legendary Whopper with cheese is made with 100% Flame Grill beef for that juicy and smoky barbecue flavor you love. Topped with fresh ingredients and nestled in an even fluffier bun. And right now, enjoy BK's Whopper with cheese combo with fries and a drink for just $9, including that. The King gives more food and more flavor for an unbeatable price. Taste the Flame Grill difference at any of Burger King's 7 locations in Nassau.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we've been talking about some comments made by the Minister of Housing in relation to a $20 million loan the government got from a private entity in Jamaica, which loan the opposition has been inquiring about, the media has been following up on, and recently the minister provided some disclosures about, including the fact that he expects to make a communication in Parliament, one which he's given to the prime minister, which I have to say to you guys, and this is just for your information, that's unusual too, right? It's unusual for a minister to say that I gave something to the prime minister, which if he approves, which means that if you never see a communication from the minister on these matters, then you would have to conclude that the prime minister did not agree it. And that's not collective responsibility. Same thing with saying, oh, I sent something to Parliament for approval, but I'm waiting for the cabinet for approval, and I'm just waiting for the cabinet to agree it. You don't want to do that, because again, that's they call a division of government. Like you, like, so it was me, I sent it in, I wanted to approve it, but they did not agree. You don't want to do that, right? So it was kind of odd to hear him say that. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Yes, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too bad today. So I just wanted to touch on two quick points. One with the borrowing up to $20 million.
Uh-huh.
I understand the minister said this was borrowed from a private person in Jamaica.
A private financial company.
Okay. My concern with that is, who is this individual or who is this company? And, Mr. Lang, you don't borrow no money for nothing. In other words, people probably will expect some sort of payback. I don't know what it is. Maybe.
But he indicated that the company was lending the money and receiving interest for it, though. There is an interest attached. He didn't disclose how much interest. Yeah, he didn't disclose how much interest.
Look at it this way, then. Even though you're getting the interest from that, I am saying the Bahamian people really need to know about this, because $20 million borrowing from a private company like that, I don't feel comfortable with it. Secondly, I want to touch on with this, the asylum bill, right?
Hold on. If you call here, I want you to help my listeners to have good information. It's called the Smuggling of Migrants Bill. It's no asylum bill.
Okay, with the Smuggling Migrant Bill, I understand the Prime Minister is in the House now trying to pass that bill.
That
came from my sources.
Also, he was speaking on the bill. Yeah, he was speaking on the bill, I understand. And I understand that the leader of the opposition is now addressing the matter.
I want to know your real feelings on this, because just a couple of days ago,
my real feelings.
Wrong with the bill. Then
my real feelings
came out, and he said,
"Hold on, brother, 1 minute. See,
okay.
Please, if you're gonna tell me what you heard me say, make sure you quote correctly. I said nothing was wrong with the bill. my brother, with the greatest respect to you, I don't know how you listen.
Wait, what I'm trying to say, you.
No. You don't get to fix it now. Let me finish. You already put your word out there. I did not say there was nothing wrong with the bill. In fact, I said to the contrary. I said that the bill had issues in relation to the way those people who paid to be smuggled were being now treated as victims, but you didn't hear that part. I talked about any number of things in the... let me fix it now. And any number of things that were wrong in the bill. What I said was the things that I heard Lincoln those were saying were not things that were in that bill. That's what I said.
Yeah, but okay. Let's buy that then. But what I'm trying to say...
No. No. Listen, thank you very much. See you later. You have a great day. Have a great day. Because my stuff I recorded. You don't get to come on this show and lie and then tell me now, oh, but let's buy that. Nonsense. Do that to someone else. Y'all think y'all slick. You have to try that on people who ain't paying attention to your nonsense. Okay? That bill I indicated has issues. And anyone who listened to the show, you listen to the show properly, you can tell me if I didn't say that or not. I indicated any number of things in relation to the rationalization of the penalties and those kinds of stuff. I read provisions of the bill and I said, well, the bill says that if you are tortured or you are this and you are that, you have a right to do this. What's wrong with that? This brother gets to come on my show and tell me, I said, ain't nothing wrong with that. You know why? Because he started out wanting to put a lie out there. Started out that way. And thought he was dealing with a fool who couldn't listen. We have a text here, said Mr. Lang, what's the process on this smuggling of migrant bill? I thought the AG say that that they wanted to amend the wording of certain things in the bill. Are they doing this by debating it or are they planning to implement it? No. So what happens is you have a first reading of the bill and then you have a second reading of the bill. And so on second reading of the bill, you have debates. And that's where all the members can get up and give their contributions under the bill and say what they think is right, not right, etc. And then you have a third reading and committal of the bill. It's a third reading and committal where they go through individual provisions of the bill. And if there are amendments to be made, they can be made at that time. So what would happen is that if there is an amendment to be made, a minister or member will stand up and say when the chair of the committee tries to pass that provision, and then someone will stand up and say, they propose the following amendment to the bill and so forth. If they determine to do that. That is how it would be done. Okay? And so they can do it that way. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, please. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I hope you're doing well, sir.
I'm right here, man. What's up?
Right here. Mr. Lang, I want to know in regards to Mr. Bell's statements or release, where was this information 12 months ago? Why didn't the then Minister of Housing speak to this?
I was supposed to raise the same point. Like if this is a no-brain, no-nothing, a nothing burger, like, why take so long to just answer it if it was a nothing burger?
Yeah, you know, because now if you can't give it an answer, I mean, you're trying to put together something. You're trying to, you know, it looks bad, man, you know. This, if all of these things are factual and whatever it is, then this when the opposition asked about this, then Colby Davis should have, whatever Mr. Bell is saying now, should have been said at that particular time.
And you could then shame the opposition because you could say to them, "Why are you bringing this nonsense thing? I'm here. Let me show you the details, brother.
Why are
you trying to deceive the public?
A year and a half later, or whatever it is, and you say this. Now, you think anybody can believe that? Even though you know people sit down and let you write anything on it, you know what I mean? But anyhow, we'll see what the outcome is.
Thanks for calling, my friend. I appreciate you calling. So you never said that there was nothing wrong with the bill. So let's buy that. What the... Let me tell you something. Some of these people don't even know that I could feel them out from the first start of the out of them out. I could feel them. Listen, can I tell you? Man, I know I have plenty of haters out there, right? It's all good. And when I say haters, I don't mean like you hate me. I mean like some people who don't like me like that, don't want to hear from me, think I this and that and the next. That's okay. But all you got to do is call and talk sensibly. Even if you disagree with me, even if you demonstrate to me, I'll be wrong on that point, you know. You no problem. Don't try and get slick on me. Let's buy that. This text said, it is painfully clear that the FOIA delays are not incompetence. They are a shield. Any government that keeps more than $400 million in contracts hidden from the Bahamian people is not protecting the public interest. It is protecting itself. Well, let me say, first of all, that it has to be very clear to the Bahamian public that no administration in the Bahamas, none, including the ones I was in, were eager about introducing a FOIA. None. And the evidence of that is how long it's taken. And how, so there is an act now, and how long it's taken to bring it into force, to operationalize it. Government is it. And you say it because it's protecting itself. Yes, not necessarily. It could be from corruption or things that could disclose corruption. That could be it. But it mostly could be about things that could disclose political pandering. Right? Could be both. That could be exposed by access to FOIA. But I don't, I've also said to you all, if you are doing something good as a government, and I presume you think that everything you're doing is good, you should be happy to disclose that. True or not true? Wait a minute. Listen, I'm signing this big contract, signing this small contract with this so-and-so, because we think this is going to do this for you and that next year. Yeah, no problem. What's the problem? It's your business. It's your money. And it's for you. Shouldn't be a problem. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us. We'll be back after the news break.
Take a stay. Everybody. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, the thing I find extremely unusual about this administration is you always have to catch them in a something good or bad, and their response is always, what's all the fuss? It's easy to explain. Why don't they explain in Parliament where use of the people's money is supposed to be explained before it's used? Has Brave Davis ever given any explanation for the $500 million loan that he refused to discuss in 2024? Why are these things secret, says his text? Tech said it appears that the government intentionally did not address the part of persons who pay to be smuggled into the country in this bill. This is why many are saying this is an asylum bill. This government cannot be trusted, says that text. This text is, Mr. Lang, both you and I recognized his intentions when he referred to the bill as an asylum bill. To refer to the bill after a week of clarification seems intentional. That is true. So don't get me wrong, I called it an asylum bill initially because I heard that from COI, and I thought that was the name of the bill before I read it for myself. Also, thanks for making things much clearer about this bill. Says, while you were speaking, I heard they removed the immunity clause for migrants. Thank God they heard the complaints of Bahamians. I'd be surprised if there were no amendments to that bill. Surprise. I even heard the minister, the attorney general, saying that they were going to remove some of the ambiguities. One of the biggest ambiguity is a person, adult person, who pays to be smuggled, a victim or a culprit? That's one of the biggest ambiguities. You're a culprit first, but then you could be victimized while you're on your journey, and there has to be some culpability on your part for having put yourself in that situation as an adult, even though no one should torture you, no one should abuse you, but you are breaking the law, and so that has to be recognized too. So I'd be surprised if that wasn't some amendment, but honestly, I would really love a very clear explanation for this. Why this bill? Why now? Why this bill? Why now? Well, see, you remember the Prime Minister was asked about finance campaign reform. You remember that? He says that wasn't in my agenda. Y'all remember that? Yes. And that's a fair question. Answer, it was not on my agenda. Well, I read the government's legislative plan that was given during the opening of Parliament. There was no smuggling of migrants bill in that agenda. Why not? That isn't to say that a government can't have a legislation that's not on their agenda, you know. But you should explain it. Like, why? Why now? Why this bill? Why now? I mean, I have my theories of the case, but those are just theories. I mean, not even theories. They're just ideas, just thoughts, right? They don't represent any fact of anything. Just my thought on the matter. And I share some of those with you sometimes. Your legislative agenda pretty much is done. You ain't really got nothing to do. And these bills be knocking around somewhere. Somebody says, well, PM, you know, if you don't have nothing else to do, we could do this one. And, by the way, given the people in their uproar about this immigration issue and whether his passports were being stolen. I mean, a passport being counterfeited or given to the wrong people. It's an immigration thing, and it would make it look like as if we're doing something because it's immigration related. And then you rush it out there. But you didn't really give it all the thought in the world. Not the broadest consideration. So can I explain to you guys what happens with bills that come to Parliament through the government? I've done it before, but I could save it to you again. So a minister has to bring a draft bill to cabinet. So somebody brings the bill. And it's normally a bill that's connected to your ministry. So the Minister of Immigration may bring a immigration-related piece of bill. The Minister of Education, a related piece of bill, and so forth, so forth. The Minister of Finance, money bills, and so forth. So you bring them what you do is you submit them to the Prime Minister for inclusion on the cabinet agenda, right? And so you have to do this by Thursday. Don't get in on Thursday. It might not make the Tuesday agenda. And then the Prime Minister, in putting the agenda of the cabinet together, decides whether or not this will be on the agenda, and if it's going to be on the agenda, where on the agenda it could be. So there could be 50 items on the agenda. He could decide whether that could be number 1, he could decide whether it could be number 10, or he could decide whether it could be number 50. That's his exclusive prerogative is to determine where on the agenda an item fits. And so then if he decides that it will make the agenda, he then instructs as to the order of that item. And then on Tuesday, you get the ministers would get the agenda normally on Friday so that they have over the weekend to look at the agenda and consider some stuff and what have you. And then they have Monday to do so. And then, so on Tuesday, when you go to cabinet, the item is either on the agenda or not on the agenda. And so once it's on the agenda, the bill is on the agenda and it comes up, then the whole cabinet discusses it. The whole cabinet. What do you think? Do you approve and agree that we should take it to the House? Or the cabinet might decide, no, it needs some work, needs to be amended. So the conclusion might be to amend X, Y, and Z, and then bring it back, and so forth. But then once the cabinet has agreed it, then it is introduced in the House of Assembly. That's what happens. So this says they will probably rush the bill through Parliament and go on Christmas break. Man, I don't know. They have the power to do it, to do whatever they want. But they might do it and make some amendments that satisfies. I don't know. Says, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for speaking to the House bill. Because the member who was speaking in the House of Assembly made me feel as if I was stupid for asking questions about it. Thank you very much for clearing the House and situation up. No, I'm happy to help where we can. You know, and the truth of the matter, he just pointed, this texter just pointed to it, is that it is the responsibility of members of the House of Assembly to bring clarity to the legislation placed before Parliament. They could sit in there and think. I mean, and let me tell you what generally is the demeanor of too many members of the House. Or it's us and them. It's us and them. So really, we trying to do them in, they trying to do us in, and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, especially given this gavel-to-gavel coverage of the House of Assembly, what a brilliant opportunity to clarify or expose provisions of the bill that are strong, weak, or problematic, and so forth and so forth. But you got to read and study the bill and you have to think about it. I mean, seriously, right? You got to read the bill, study the bill,
and think about it. And if you're a government member, you should have read it and studied it before the bill came to the House of Assembly, so you could say to your own government, listen, man, this is going to be a problem. This is going to be a challenge. You all should change this. You should look at that, and look and so forth and so forth and so forth and so forth. And then when it comes there, you are in total support of the bill because you have already made whatever contribution you want to make to the actual bill itself for its construction. And then you don't have to differ with your government. I already told them. But and they accepted that. We've all been part of that process. There's legislation in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas today. I can take you to the provision that reflects Shivago's intervention. That's the job. That's the job, not to wait till I go to Parliament and sit down and listen to my colleagues and beat on the table and what have you mindlessly. My job is to study these bills, to understand these bills. And to say, I think there is a problem here. This is unclear. Oh, this provision here is going to be a non-starter for Bahamians. This year is very good. We should amplify that provision, actually. And that's what has to happen. But too many times, the brethren are caught up in the politic game. While you, the Bahamian public, the voters, you sit there going, when is somebody going to recognize that I'm sitting here in this studio listening and watching and observing and having no clarification given to me, no understanding given to me, no awareness of why I think this is so important or so unimportant? Nobody's thinking, checking for me. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. They should have held public consultations before moving forward with this. Any amendments to immigration laws should create loopholes and additional issues. Any amendments to immigration laws should not create loopholes and additional issues. I agree with you 100%. Says, so, Mr. Lang, it's safe to say if it was not for the great Lincoln Dean, this bill would have been snuck by, yes or no. You know, and this is what he said, and don't lie. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Because I was going to answer your question outright. But you treat me like I am some stupid demon. And I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Don't ask me no more questions. Because you could have done better than that. Some of y'all are just terrible. Y'all are terrible, and I'm not going to tolerate it. I am not your friend. I'm not. Don't approach me like that. Don't lie. What I have to lie for, Rania? What you could do me? Who is it that I am seeking to get things done for on this show? Who's that? Do not come at me with such stupidity. Yes, I said it to you. Do not come at me with such stupidity. Okay? Do not do that. And you get to do this under anonymity. I wish you had given me your name. I'd have called your name and told you. Don't come at me with such stupidity. And your question was not an unfair question. It was a sensible question. Sensible question. But if you have to tell me don't lie, how would you know if I'm lying or not? If I told you what you want to hear, how would you know if I'm lying or not? Because I could just be telling you what you want to hear. That's how your the stupid way in which you came at it has put in jeopardy the very answer you wanted. So you have to find somebody who's prepared to come at this intelligently as opposed to stupidly to ask me that question, okay? Lord of mercy, where are we? Says rubber stamp. What do you mean rubber stamp? It says, my brother, they are really trying you today. Oh boy, they can try, but I you know I can answer you. No, I'm not scared to answer you. Now let me say this. There is no question that Lincoln Bain raised the concern first publicly about this bill. No question but that. In fact, it was his and their alarm, some false alarms about this bill that brought it to the fore. There's no question but that. You would have to be dishonest to say that was not the case. No question but that. Also, it appears that now, you know, you have the opposition, FNM, and others who have taken a heavy stance on the bill after Lincoln Dawes had taken that heavy stand, even to the point now of calling for the bill's withdrawal, calling for the bill to be killed. So there's no question about that. So why would I have to lie about something like that? I mean, like, where do you live? What kind of stupid man would I need to be to lie about something like that? If that's my observation, what lying about that could do for me or for anybody else? You know what is true, though? You know why you said that to me? You said that, but don't lie. It's because that's how you would do it. You would lie if you had to. That's why you do it. You are thinking he would be like me. I understand that. But I'm not like you, bro. Not at all. So the truth of the matter is, Lincoln being in the COI has owned the advocacy on the immigration issue. Owned it for years now. Now, I don't know why you think that's a problem to say that, because notwithstanding that, Lincoln Bain and those have gone and challenged in a number of elections now, and the results have been what? FNM, PLP. Even if I were trying to do something for the FNM or the PLP, what has been the lead advocate on immigration done to improve their fortunes? Why would anybody be nervous about that? Truth don't need nobody to hide it, bro. Bring it forward. It helps. The problem is you can't deal sometimes, and y'all can't deal sometimes when people put truth to you. Like the way you come at people. And you're still trying to get them to be on your side. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
This holiday season, Marco's Pizza is serving up the joy of taste. Two hot, fresh, medium, one-topping pizzas, plus 82-liter Coke product for just $25 VAT included. Marco's Merry Feast. Celebrate with flavor. Celebrate with Marco's and Coke this season. Bring the real magic of Marco's and Coke home this Christmas. Order Marco's Merry Feast online at marcospizzabahamas.com.
This holiday season, give yourself the gift of a fresh start with a personal loan at Fidelity. You could win refreshing prizes like a luxurious spa day, John Bolt gift certificates, a cruise for two, and more. Make that move to a fresh start today. Call 356-7764. Promotion ends December 19th.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us also on 325-4259, or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, I want you to listen to this text, please. Says, the reason why I said that, Mr. Lang, is because you said there was nothing wrong with any part of the bill. You said it. You are a liar. You are a liar. And you're so foolish about lying. These shows are recorded, friend. So you can go on the Guardian's site, go to that show, and please send me back the clip where I said there was nothing wrong with the bill. You are a liar. You are living in the darkness of lying. Absolute nonsense. Say, good day, Lang. So the bill had some issues for the AG to take out Section 11. The bill had several issues, which I pointed out when I did the show last. Several issues. So, yeah, that might be one of the issues for sure. Right? I know if the AG take it out because the AG isn't in the house. So the only the people in the house, if there is an amendment to be made to the bill, could make that amendment to Texas, Mr. Lang, the other night as I watched Beyond the Headlines, the host and her panelists saw nothing wrong with the smuggler's bill. I wonder what they will say now that Wayne Monroe said they are removing Section 11 out of it. After further scrutiny, I'm sure more will be deleted out of it. I could
see that too. As I said, I think that this notion, you all are only pointing to Section 11, but I'm going to get and find out what all amendments are being proposed to the bill. Section 11 is that immunity provision in the bill, and that immunity provision is being removed. Why? Because in that provision, the person who's being smuggled, who is paid to be smuggled, is being given and granted immunity, notwithstanding their willful determination to act in contradiction of the laws of the Bahamas. Yeah, they're being treated like a victim when they are a perpetrator. So I could see that, and then if they're going to move that, there's other provisions that may need to So I can see that. All right, this is one of those instances in which for people who say, you know, you say things and the government will listen and what have you, isn't it listening? Isn't it making amendments? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Brother Lang. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, man. How are you?
Good. I'm here. Have you ever heard of one of those Haitian vessels being caught and a captain has ever been charged?
Never in my life. Never in my life.
Because it seems like nobody is the captain on the boat. When they ask who's the captain, nobody's the captain. The boat had to leave with somebody in charge.
Yeah, I it may well have happened, but I am not aware of it ever.
Yeah, I never heard of it. I've never heard where somebody got charged. They ask the people who is the captain, and everybody, like, they, you know, I don't know if it's some type of punishment when they get deported back, if you say who the captain is or something, I don't know. But it is so strange, you can't find. So, in a case
well,
like
how
that,
how you know that they ask who the captain is and nobody answers? How do you know that?
No, what I'm saying, I've never said, okay, like how when they catch Bahamians trying to smuggle people into the United States. They said, well, two Bahamians was on the boat, and they were the captain of the boat, and they identified them. I never heard them identify that this person was the captain
Actually, let me amend that, my friend, to say.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, I said, let me amend what I said to say this. I know of a case of a person who was convicted and charged with smuggling. I know of that person because the person...
From Haiti?
The person was a Bahamian.
No, I'm talking about a Haitian vessel coming from Haiti. Have you ever heard of a captain being charged for bringing in one of those vessels?
I have not heard of a Haitian.
No, I heard other people got charged before.
Yeah, okay, all right. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say I heard of a Bahamian.
Okay, because that would be kind of interesting because, you know, with this new bill, I don't know who they can charge, but...
You
what
do you mean they can charge? You got to charge who? Who's the captain? But
if
you
take... But who is the captain? If I'm on the boat, I'll have to say, well, that's the man I get my money to. Or that's
but
the
yeah,
captain.
But if they take the immunity provision out, now the person who could say, yeah, that's him, he's the captain, don't have immunity... Now they might be more reluctant to say so. Because you know that's how immunity works, right?
They're coming on the boat again. But you know that's how... They're not coming on the boat much now.
Well, I know they've gone down, eh?
But they're coming, yeah. When was the last time you had an interception of a Haitian vessel?
The minister said that they just sent back three...
No, I'm not saying send back. In order to get sent back, you was here. You had to be here to get sent back.
It also means that you had to get here illegally.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, brother, what I'm saying, you have to be here in order, like you said, you have to come illegally in order to get sent back. But it has to be another means of transportation that they're using now.
But how are you? But man, you can't do life like that, man. Who me and you? I'm 58 years old. I never see a Haitian boat coming in illegally in the Bahamas in my life. Ever. 58 years old. That means from 1967, I've never my eyes seen a Haitian boat coming in. But I know the government and the police, the immigration people have accosted them. The defense forces accosted them and gotten them here. When you ever see a boat? You ever see an actual illegal Haitian boat coming from Haiti? You're all dangerous, buddy. You don't have to see a boat coming, man. That's the whole point of trying to smuggle
things and people is you try to evade being spotted. That's the whole point. So if people start to go in this direction, then you go and take your smuggling operation another way if you can. Because the point is you're trying not to be seen. Not as if these people saying, you know what, let's do it in a way where they could find us. What you mean they don't see much boat now? So they're coming on the plane, eh? You think that a buggy load of Haitians coming on an airline, an airplane, having to pass through immigration, that happened. Or they're being flown to some island somewhere. Yeah, and then being let off those islands. Okay. Maybe I know, John. I really don't know. I don't know how it's being done because I'm not involved. So maybe if you know, you should go tell the police. Chilling. This is all just so curious to me. And we aren't going to be able to rally ourselves, get very far with some stuff because we are so partisan. Now that the PLP is in, PLPs believe that their government is doing great and is doing nothing that untoward. And the FNM was in power, the FNMs believed their government was doing great, nothing untoward. So when we start to have a dialogue, you know how you look at me? Oh, I wonder if he's FNM or PLP. Oh, I look at you, wonder if he's FNM or PLP. And so all we do is cross paths. We talk past each other. Because we're trying to decipher the politics of the person, not the details of the issue. Good luck with that. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, how you doing?
Hey, right here, man. How you?
All right. I guess what he's trying to say is that they're not coming here by boat, but they can come here legally as a tourist and overstay their welcome.
Possible.
And they can be caught by immigration and deported out.
That is possible.
Yeah, I guess that's what he was trying to explain.
But
tourist or to do something, the embassy or whatever have you.
Let me ask you, because
there's no tracking.
But let me ask you a question. You ever been, I travel a lot, right? So I go through LPIA a lot. You ever travel to LPIA and see the lines on Bahamas Air or some of them other airlines going into Haiti?
No.
Oh, my brother, you should see them sometimes. I ain't talking about lines. And how do I know the Haitian descent or Haitians? You hear the language? You can hear them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, man. I to be honest with you, it actually amazed me to see that many going back.
But a lot are coming in via airplane.
Okay, but what I don't know is this, and this is what I'm unprepared to do, though. I am unprepared without evidence to simply go and say, yeah, well, that's how they're coming in. They ain't coming in by boat no more. How you know? How we know? How I know?
I see them. Personally.
You see them coming in by boat?
No. By plane.
But how you know they're illegal coming in by boat?
No,
by plane? How do you know that?
I didn't say they were illegal. You remember what I said?
Okay.
As tourists or to the embassy or whatever have you. But that's what I'm saying.
Okay, but I see that too. I see a lot of Americans coming in. I don't know if they're going back.
That's not our problem.
Why is it
Americans
not our problem?
Are not our problem.
How do you know?
Because Americans come in to stay at hotels as tourists.
No, but how you? But how you know that? But how you know that? How you know that there aren't, you know, America has 329 million people, right? So 1% of them would represent hundreds of thousands, right? And so thousands of them could, millions of them come in here, But how you know 1,000 of them ain't living here illegally? How you know that?
Because we don't have that problem.
What do you mean? What you mean we don't have the problem? I don't understand what you mean.
If we choose to bury our heads in the sand and just...
Don't have nothing to do... No, you cannot answer my question, so now I'm burying my head in the sand. Everything is an argument. If you are trying to put out a point that cannot be substantiated, that's everything is an argument. You don't just get to blurt things out and put innuendos out in the community as if you have evidence of the same. And then can tell me it's not an argument. Of course it's an argument, because you want me to take a view that you have. Terrible. I mean, it's terrible what some of you do. It's terrible. You might as well just come on here and say, Mr. Lang, on buggy load of illegal Asians coming on the airplanes. I see them coming in and they don't go back. Just come on and say that. But you want me to soak that up? You have no evidence of that. You could be right, but you don't have no evidence of it. And that's how I want you to speak. As someone who has no evidence of the same. So that people can know, but it's my naked opinion. And you're entitled to that. Don't go on my show and expect me to buy into that and swallow that up and don't challenge it. And then you get mad at me as if, oh, Chicago is the problem. Y'all, keep it up, bro. Keep it up. Because I know you have alternatives of what to do between 12 and 2. Listening to Z Live, I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this final break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC, Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money. At work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands. In all seasons.
It's an island love Christmas. Joy's in the air. Jackpots arise. There's luck everywhere. No snow on the ground. Just sunshine and cheer. It's an island love Christmas. Best time of year.
Island Luck wishes you a Merry Christmas and a Lucky New Year.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, to to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Fridays are so wonderful. Fridays are so wonderful. That's wonderful. This says, I'd like to know who handed this bill to the AG, because in my opinion, it doesn't seem like any of them read it. Why? Latrey, on behalf of the OPM and the AG, both came out with statements on what the bill really means. That's odd. And when I say odd, I mean in the number of ambiguities, like nobody read it. Yeah. It's not an unfair observation. Says Adrian Fox was caught and charged with human smuggling. He eventually entered into a plea deal. There are a number of newspaper accounts where it was reported that the captain of a Haitian sloop couldn't be identified. Okay. This text is, Mr. Lang, what they need to do is turn the boat around, give them food and water, and send them back. Okay. Path to longevity in government in the Bahamas. Make a dent in this immigration problem. Make a big dent in it. Yeah, that might be a path. That's probably one of the reasons why so many latch onto it, because they see the degree of anxieties of Bahamians about it and think that if they could get in on that anxiety, demonstrate some way of lowering that anxiety by addressing the problem, that they might be able to get in power and stay in power, maybe. Because it's a big problem. It's a big problem. Whether the government wants to accept it or recognize it or not, it's a big problem. And I say again, it's a problem. Producer, am I having a problem with the audio at all? You see, some of you guys, you tell me I have a problem with the audio, but I have a producer in the studio. And the producer says no. So sometimes something is happening on your side, not on my side. Right? So the producer tells me no. And even if two or three of you all are having the same problem, that's possible too. You could be having the same problem, so thank you, but they're saying, somebody's saying this, something is happening, but the producer says no. I don't know what's happening, but I don't, my equipment is as it is. Is something happening now? Are we good now? Are we in and out now? Still? Better, but I haven't done anything different though. Okay, let me see. We'll see what happens. I don't know what's going on. Sorry. Yusuf says I hear you. No issue. Okay. Maybe it's maybe the connection straight to the studio is okay. All right. Says, yes, on my car radio, you are in and out, up and down, boy. But something happening, producer. Not many people have an issue. There must be an issue. It says, on my TV is fine. Okay. On the TV is fine. So I'm using just one avenue for both. It says, Lang, if I buy drugs from a drug dealer, would I be charged? You better believe you'd be charged. Unless... they give you immunity to catch the drug dealer, right? So that could happen too. Like you could enter a plea deal and get a reduced sentence, or you could get total immunity to try to get the drug dealer. But you would have been guilty of a crime. Both the dealer and the recipient of the drugs would both be guilty of crimes. dealing drugs, illegal drugs, and receiving illegal drugs are both crimes. Smuggling and being smuggled are both crimes. Okay? Both. Offering a bribe and taking a bribe are both crimes. Both are crimes. Right? So on both sides of an illegal transaction are ordinarily perpetrators, both sides, unless someone gets a deal as a means of providing a conviction of what is regarded as the more egregious perpetrator. So they're both crimes. Well, they're dealing with the matter in the house, so we'll see how this all transpires and go from there. All right? We'll see if we get any more information. I see I'm looking on the television right now, and the Minister of Housing is on the television right now making a communication. Pills is drugs, herb is a plant. I ask them what is sin. What? First of all, that doesn't even arise, because what is unlawful is what the government says is unlawful, but the parliament passes as a law and says it's unlawful. So it's not a question of whether you think it's moral or immoral or sin or not sin. It has nothing to do with it. Having sex with somebody single isn't illegal in the Bahamas unless that person is a minor or unless you force that person. But consensual sex or fornicating, as the church might say, that might be immoral, but it's not illegal in the Bahamas. Right? So it's not a question of whether it's a sin or not. The question is whether the Bahamas Parliament passed a law against a thing. That's what makes a thing immoral things in the Bahamas that are not illegal. And there are some things considered immoral that are legal. Like you could gamble now in the Bahamas, which used to be regarded as illegal and immoral. Some people still regard it as immoral, but it's now legal. Okay? All right. So the producer there saying, I am doing nothing different, changing nothing different. Still hearing, I'm in and out. What can I do? I don't know. All right, we'll see what the problem is. I don't. All right. No, I didn't go out altogether. I just stopped talking because I was trying to see if the producers could tell me if I still have a problem. Okay, so what I was saying was there are many things that are illegal or that might be immoral but are not illegal. That's what I was saying there. So you have things in this country that are immoral but not illegal. For instance, if you tell me a lie, that's not illegal. It may be immoral, it's not illegal. If you lie to a public official, that might be regarded as both immoral and illegal. Okay? So that's the point that I made, is that if somebody was making a point about sin and illegal, I'm just making the point that, you know, it's what is illegal is only what the Parliament of the Bahamas passes laws. Mr. Lang, if the majority of people saying kill the bill, why are they still trying to push it? And they work for the people. That's a good question. Is the majority of people saying kill the bill? What evidence do you have that the majority of people want this bill killed?
get that from? Tell me where you gauge that that's what the majority of people want. Do you have a survey that you've done? Do you have anything that you could point to which gives you a read on the majority of people? So maybe that's why they're going forward, because there is no indication that the majority of people want this bill killed. Now, again, just because a majority of people want something doesn't mean the government will or has to do it, because the majority of people voted against legalizing gambling. And the government still pressed ahead with that, right? It says, I have to obtain and review this bill. Yeah, that's a good idea to look at it, read it, and get a sense of it your own self. If the government did not withdraw this bill and decided to instead revise it, depending on the revisions, I could see that. But if the government does not revise this bill, it should withdraw it. Because in its present form, the bill is unacceptable. That's a fact. In its present form, it's unacceptable. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. God spare us life. We'll be back again tomorrow. Take care. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take